And it is that time of the week, time for weekend winners here on Robbie and Rex Road. Lots of action in the world of sports this weekend. Obviously, the Stanley Cup playoffs underway, the NBA playoffs as well, and Major League Baseball and MLS soccer going forward. So there's a lot of different directions that we could go this week on weekend winners. But before we get there, let's give a quick standings update in the competition. Robbie Stanley and Joe Rex are out now tied atop the competition. A very interesting.
Did you just say Rex Roud?
Did I?
I think you did.
Well, look, he's been called a lot worse and will continue to be called a lot worse.
That's true.
39-27 for Joe Rex Road, 47 points, 8-3 on his locks. 39-27 for myself as well, 47 points, 8-3 on my locks. So Rex Road and I, Rex Roud, whoever, dead even in the competition. Michelle Knezovic in third place, 29-37. 31 points. Michelle, 2-9 on her locks. So the locks are really what's been causing some problems for Michelle Knezovic. With that in mind, Chase McCabe, you are picking for Michelle today. We have Joe's picks have been sent in to me 2 days ago, so he was very prepared this thing. So let's get rolling today here on Weekend Winners. We begin with Preds and Avalanche coming up in Game 3 tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Going on the puck line here, Chase McCabe, you go ahead and kick us off here. Who do you have between the Preds and the Colorado Avalanche in Game 3?
I called my shot earlier. Give me the home team, the Nashville Predators. I do think they get on the board with a win somehow tomorrow.
So Chase going with the Preds in this competition. Joe Rexrode also going with the Nashville Predators in Game 3. So Chase and Joe going with the Preds to win Game 3. Before the series, I picked Avalanche in 6.
Yeah.
So that would probably mean the Predators need to win this game tomorrow. But, yeah, honestly, after watching the games, I just don't think they have it. I don't think they have what it takes. I'm going Colorado to win in Game 3 and to take a 3-0 series lead in the competition. Let's move to Game 4 between the Preds and the Avalanche coming up on Monday. So, Chase, in your world, Preds will be down 2-1 in the series at that point. Let's start with you again. Who wins coming up on Monday in Game 4 between the Preds and the Avalanche?
I think they take care of business in Game 3, but not so much in Game 4. I think it's a 3-1 series going back to Colorado.
So going with the Avalanche coming up in Game 4. I will go with the Preds in Game 4. I think the Preds avoid the sweep, so I go with the Preds in Game 4. Joe Rexrode selecting the Avalanche in Game 4 as well. So Chase and Joe, so far on the same page with the Preds so far. So are you comforted that you're on the same page with Rexrode, or does that scare you?
It scares me a little bit, but, you know, that's okay.
Game 3 coming up between the Memphis Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. Now, as we talked about earlier, Memphis will be without Dylan Brooks in this game and Golden State going back home. So something to keep in mind there. Golden State favored by 6.5 in this game. So we're going point spread on this one. Golden State minus 6.5. I'll kick us off on this one. I'm going to go with the Warriors. I think the Warriors will win and they'll cover the 6.5 in Game 3. It was a poor shooting night for Steph and Klay in Game 2. Not very often are you going to see them combine to shoot like 5 of 22 from 3 or whatever it was at the end of that game. I think they shoot much better at home, and I think ultimately that's the difference. Give me the Warriors minus the 6.5 in Game 3, and they'll take a 2-1 lead in this series. Chase McCabe, Golden State minus 6.5 on the spread.
I am going to take the Grizzlies and the points because, again, am I called shot? I said they would win this weekend, so I will take that 6.5.
So you're going Grizzlies plus 6.5. Joe Rexrode going with Warriors minus the 6.5. So Joe, a big part of Dub Nation out there going minus 6.5 with Golden State. We now move to the individual picks, the individual part of the program here on Weekend Winners. We'll start with Joe's first individual pick, and as he typically does, because apparently other sports don't exist this time of year, he goes with the NBA playoffs. He begins with the Celtics and the Bucks in Game 3, with the Bucks as a lock minus 2. Going with the Bucks as a lock minus 2 in this competition. So Joe's lock of the week, the Milwaukee Bucks in Game 3, coming back home with the series tied 1-1.
Thank you, Chuck. It was good.
That was good.
So he's going with the Bucks there.
Chase McCabe, your first individual selection.
Yes, I'm going to go to Major League Baseball tonight with this one. And I'm going to actually go the opposite, go oppo of what ended up happening last night. I don't think there's a hangover. Give me the Phillies plus 1.5. I think they rebound.
So going with the Phillies plus 1.5. That was quite the collapse last night, by the way. They were up 7-0 in that game, and the Mets come back and win that game. So going Phillies plus 1.5. I will go baseball as well with my first pick. Give me the Pirates minus 1.5 against the Cincinnati Reds. This is a giant. I mean, first off, God bless the people going to watch this game between the Pirates and the Reds.
I think they should get paid.
They really should. Like, it's. There will be dozens of people, I'm sure, in attendance. The Reds are 3-22. They've lost 14 games in a row. So give me the Pirates minus the 1.5 against the Reds. I think they cover the 1.5. Chase McCabe, your second individual selection.
That's gross. That game is gross. I'm gonna with my second one, I'm gonna go to one that's in our backyard. I don't know if there's actually a line yet for this, but Nashville SC and Real.
You
Salt
can go
Lake.
Well, that one you can go win, lose, or draw. Pick any of the three.
I will say that Nashville SC will get their first victory at Geodis Park, and that is my lock.
Ooh. Chase McCabe locking it down on Nashville SC to get the 3 points coming up this weekend at Geodis Park. For my second pick, I'm going the Miami Heat minus 3 against Philadelphia, and make that my lock. I am locking down on the Miami Heat. They're up 2-0 in this series. Game 3 on the road for the Heat against Philadelphia. We'll see what the status of Joel Embiid looks like for this game. Doc Rivers was not overly optimistic about it, but quite frankly, I don't really care. I think the Heat are just better in this series, and I think they win. They cover the 3-point spread as well. Rex Rhodes, second pick of the day, also is Heat Sixers, going with minus 3 in that as well for the Heat. So Rex Rhodes and I both on the Miami Heat. Chase McCabe, your final individual selection here on Weekend Winners.
So I was just looking around at this one. Suns Mavs tonight. Now, some books, I think Caesars has that as a pick'em. And BetMGM, my official sports book, has the Suns as a 1.5-point favorite, but getting even money with that. I am going to, in this one, take the Mavs to get on the board. The Mavs at home, I think it's a close game. Give me Dallas to get a win in this series. Phoenix would still lead 2-1.
So Dallas going back home, Chase predicting a win for Jason Kidd, Luka Doncic, and the Dallas Mavericks.
Yes.
By the way, Jason Kidd does not play. He is the coach.
No, he is.
For those wondering.
He is the coach.
So the Mavs winning, according to Chase McCabe. Joe Rexroad's final selection is also the Mavs and the Suns, so he's going with the Mavs as well.
Okay.
So you and Joe both going with the Mavs there.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
My final selection will be Nashville SC as well to win against Real Salt Lake. Now, I got my point last week in this part of it because I picked the draw between Nashville SC and Philadelphia. I'm always tempted, especially with Nashville SC, because there's a lot of draws that they end up with to go draw on this. But I think they're going to win. I think they feel it was a little bit of a missed opportunity at home last week with the opening of Geodis Park. It was good to get the point, good to come back in that game and tie it up late. But I think they take out some frustration this week and get an important 3 points at home. It's one of those things, Chase, where you start off the season with 8 consecutive games on the road. You did a pretty good job of collecting points during that stretch, but now with the home games you've got coming up for Nashville SC, draws are fine and grabbing a point's fine. You need to catch some wins along the way and get 3 points.
No, I agree with that. And, you know, you could tell last week Gary Smith was a little irritated with not getting the 3 points. Felt like that they could have. But, yeah, and you got to keep this undefeated streak going, you know, at home, which is kind of cool. So go ahead and get that first dub at Geodis Park.
This has been Weekend Winners. We do this every Friday here on Robbie and Rex Road. Ladies and gentlemen, good luck out there following our advice on Weekend Winners. And Chase, good luck picking for Michelle Knezvik. It's not been great for Michelle so far in this competition.
I hope I can help her out.
So if you help her out, she may start consulting you every week.
I'm going to let her know I picked some winners.
Hey,
so
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Preds on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. While there's one interesting lineup decision that I'm very fascinated to see what John Hines does coming up in Game 3. We'll get to that next. The NBA playoffs are into the second round, and you can make every game feel like Game 7 on FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Throughout the playoffs, all customers can place a no-sweat same-game parlay each week. You'll get up to $20 in free bets if you don't win. FanDuel has so many different ways to play, and best of all, when you do win, you'll get paid faster than a fast break. I mentioned this earlier in Weekend Winners. I love the Miami Heat -3 tonight on the spread. I think they're going to take a 3-0 series lead. Give me Bam Adebayo over on rebounds. Give me Jimmy Butler over on points going back to Philadelphia. But you take it any way you want to take it. If you're new to FanDuel, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code ROB to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB. And if you already have an account, you're all set to bet no sweat. Either way, you'll get up to $20 in free bets. If your same-game parlay during the playoffs doesn't win, FanDuel Sportsbook, an official partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max free bet of $20 per week. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll be joined by Scott Burnside coming up at 9:30. Get his thoughts on the Preds and the Avalanche and the Stanley Cup playoffs as a whole. Chase, it's honestly, there's been a lot of blowouts so far in the playoffs. Last night was a little bit better, but lots of blowouts so far. Lots of goals so far in the playoffs. Yeah. We typically see scoring go down in the playoffs, and that's not really been the case so far.
I mean, Preds-Avs was the game of the night. Yeah. You know, that was the good one. I mean, Dallas and Calgary was low scoring, but I was long gone. I didn't watch any of that, so long gone on that one. But, yeah, I agree. It hasn't been, you know, the just – as compelling as you would like it to be so far, but it's early.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Lester texting in says, just an opinion here. You got to credit the Avs. They're an elite team. This is not because of a lack of effort, as the Preds played very well. Trennan played an outstanding game. Ingram played great. The 5-on-3 was a killer in this close of a game. The Preds are merely just lacking one or two speed players to match the Avs. But other than that, it is what it is. The Avs were a favorite from the beginning and of the season to probably win it all, and they are elite. This coming from Lester on the text line. I mean, I will say, we've talked so much about the shortcomings of the Predators today on the show, and there are certainly a lot of things they can do better, so don't get me wrong. But the Avalanche are pretty darn good, and they're putting that on display the first two games.
I think it's interesting to use the E word, elite, because I tend to agree with the texter. I think this is an elite team. Pretty much from top to bottom, outside of the goaltender. I mean, Darcy Kuemper is not elite, but he doesn't have to be. With the defense and the firepower that they have around him, you know, you can be a
– he's a good goalie.
He's a good goalie. I was trying to choose my words there. I wouldn't call him average, but I'd say he's solid. He's good, you know, but you don't have to be the elite of the elite goaltenders with this team, but they're going to be tough to beat. I mean, Alec on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Preds need to take more shots and get more traffic. Kuemper leaves lots of juicy rebounds, and there were no gold jerseys in front to bury them. That's all well and good. They're not allowing it. That's the thing. I don't think it's from lack of trying. Colorado's just not allowing it, and I don't know who that guy can be. You know, I honk if you've heard the Preds need somebody to get in front of the net conversation before. They haven't really had that in the last few years. Scott Hartnell was, you know, Arvidsson did it, but Arvidsson was also tiny and would get knocked around. So, you know, they haven't really had that in a long time, but Colorado's just not letting anyone get near their goalie right now.
Raymond in Franklin on the text line says, that game last night was the backbreaker. Hashtag Broomville. That's coming from Raymond in Franklin on the text line. I will say, I'm interested tomorrow to see what the crowd's like, because, look, I think a lot of Predators fans are are realistic here, and they're viewing this series as this is going to be a pretty uphill battle, uphill climb at this point. Without UC Soros, with how good Colorado is and has been through the first two games, I mean, the idea of beating them four out of the next five just seems incredibly unlikely. Now, having said that, it's the playoffs. It's Bridgestone Arena. We've seen this atmosphere time and time again. And the Predators, I mean, they were in a similar spot last year. You're down 0-2 coming back home to Bridgestone, and you win two games against Carolina, and all of a sudden it's a series again. That absolutely could happen in this series. But to me, and I don't know if you agree or disagree with it, with this, Chase, just with interactions I've had with Preds fans, it kind of feels like there's a different vibe with this series of more look around saying, oh, boy, I just don't know if the Predators can match up in this series.
Yeah, there's just not a ton of belief. And listen, I kind of agree with the sentiment of if they don't win tomorrow, it's likely over on Monday. I mean, just I'm just being a realist.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to be wrong there, but I do feel like that tomorrow is a must win, because if, you know, if you go into Monday and you're down 3-0, I think the passion's going to be out of the building. I think that the players will not have given up, but there is going to be that sense of defeat in the back of your mind just from a human element, which, listen, we've seen this team with their backs against the wall, and that's when they thrive the most. So that very well could happen, but I really think getting a win tomorrow is going to keep this series alive, and then Monday you never know.
Well, I'm interested too. You brought up the last change part of this with Crispy. What things do you change if you're John Hines, matchup wise and also lineup wise? I mean, Tomasino was out last night, and we talked about this. I think he's got to go back in there, and I understand the Matthew Olivier part of this, and you want to have as much physicality as you can against a team like Colorado, maybe try to beat them down that way. But that hadn't worked through the first two games. Number one, I think you can make an argument that Colorado has been the more physical team. It hasn't been an overly physical series. I know there were a ton of hits last night, and I think maybe the scorekeeper got a little happy with the hits last night with the amount of hits that they were crediting last night. But you got to find some way to generate some offense. And I understand Olivier's physical. Olivier doesn't bring you nothing offensively. Tolvanen got back in there last night. Cunning was in there still. I understand that those two guys have just been beyond disappointing offensively. But to me, I'm riding with those two. I'm riding with Tomasino because, quite frankly, the other options right now just aren't that good.
Okay.
Not in this series.
So you would take Olivier out and put Tomasino back in?
I would put Tomasino back with Johansson.
I would
move
Cunning
down.
I definitely think Tomasino's got to go back in, but – honestly, it's a toss-up between Cunning and Olivier to me. I mean, I think they're both kind of
– well, I agree, but I think we've
doing
seen
the
enough.
Same amount.
I agree, but I think we've seen enough to know that they're not going to scratch Luke Cunning. This
no.
If they hadn't scratched him by now, I don't know why all of a sudden they do it in game three.
No,
so,
I mean, I think it's certainly Olivier that's coming out. But Luke Cunning, that just hasn't worked. Like, overall, I mean, he had a – he kind of came on towards the end of last year, but like overall full body of work that hasn't worked.
No.
He hasn't fit with this system. So that's obviously something that I believe is going to be addressed in the off season. But
he's got an expiring contract. He's a restricted free agent. And I'm interested to see how that one goes. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mike from Gallatin. Mike, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey guys, so again, I of course would make the phone call, and then you guys jump right in and talk about what I was going to say for the most part.
Sorry, man.
Man, Luke Cunning has been a major disappointment for, I guess, what we thought we were bringing in when we got him. And I'm to a point where I know you guys said they don't want to scratch him, but we have to put as much like offensive talent that we have possible up there. Our, you know, Ingram backed us up real great last night. I think they're going to, you know, we might as well just ride him as long as, you know, UC's not going to be out there. But I'm to a point where if Tomasino and Tolvanen and Johansson needs to be aligned together, they need to put them together, and that just doesn't make room for Cunning because he doesn't do anything for you on the fourth line either. So, again, y'all jumped to what I already had before I got to talk, but again, I just that experiment has failed miserably.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mike. We appreciate it. I mean, it's one of those things. Like, I agree to a certain extent. Like, I think Cunningham is a better fit on the fourth line than Tolvanen is. Like, they put Tolvanen on the fourth line sometimes, and I get that Tolvanen has played better defensively this year, and he can handle the physical aspect of it a little bit better than he has been in the past. I still think Cunningham has maybe some attributes there on the fourth line that are better suited for that than Tolvanen does. But to Mike's point there, it just feels like they're trying to force a square peg in a round hole with Cunningham being a top six forward, and he's just not. And I don't know what you do about that at this point. I mean, you're 84 games in now to this season, and you've not found a solution on the second line that works. So I don't really have a ton of confidence that all of a sudden in game three of the playoffs, you're going to find a solution on the second line that works. But why not just load it up with Tomasino and I guess keep Tolvanen in there on the second line? And then I still think Cunningham's going to play, so you'd probably be a fourth line forward at that point. But
yeah,
it's just they have a big problem on the second line, and they were counting on – as good as Forsberg and Duchesne were this year and Johansson and Granlund, all these guys, they were counting on Tolvanen to take a step and for Cunningham to take a step. And the fact that neither one of those guys have, and you can make an argument they've gone the other way, really hurts this team.
Yeah, I think what's interesting – just something that kind of popped in my head here. Do you think that the whole Cunningham, like the square peg in a round hole, that they're forcing that because Tolvanen hasn't been what they hoped Tolvanen would be?
Yeah.
I think that has everything to do with it, that you're trying to force something else to work because Tolvanen hasn't. And, you know, I heard somebody said this to me the other day, that they feel like Tolvanen has gotten to the point like Fiala and that it's time for a change of scenery. Well, I think Fiala actually gave you more flashes
for sure
of what he could be than what Tolvanen has done. And I'm not saying I disagree that it might be time to look at some other things, because I think Tolvanen is what Tolvanen is. And so maybe you move on this offseason, you try and trade him or something. But I mean, Fiala showed you a little bit more. And so I think that it's all a domino effect of you're not getting the goal scorer that you thought you had in Tolvanen. So therefore, you're going to take the flashes that you've seen from Cunningham, try and force him to be something that he's not. And now you've kind of just got both players that look like fish out of water.
It's interesting. I'm going through like the game log for Tolvanen for last year when he got hot and went on that run. You know, it started basically in mid to early March,
yeah,
and carried through until he got hurt in the early April last year. So you're talking really, he had a stretch from March 21st last year until March 30th last year where he had at least a point per game and had a three-point game and a two-point game mixed in there. So he was a factor on the power play. He was scoring goals left and right. At the end of the day, that is a six-game sample size, and I'll even throw seven in there because he had an off game and then came back and scored a goal against Chicago right after that. So you're basically talking about a seven-game sample size with Eli Tolvanen where he has gotten hot. He was really good on the power play. He got hurt after that in the Detroit game, and then he was out for 2 weeks, and he came back, and he wasn't the same after that last year with the Predators. We're talking about now, Tolvanen has been around for 2-3 years at this point, but full-time in the NHL for 2 years. And it's basically a 10 to 15 game sample size of him being a really, really good offensive player.
Real quick.
That's not good.
Real quick on that, and what did he do during that stretch? He had one spot on the ice that was his spot. And
left
guess
circle.
What? Yeah, the left circle. And everybody figured that out and took that away from him, and he hasn't been able to find anything else since.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Scott Burnside from Daily Faceoff. We'll get his thoughts on Preds and Avs and all things Stanley Cup playoffs. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Chase McCabe, Kenny Adams here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Talking Preds and Avalanche and the Stanley Cup playoffs. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in the legendary Scott Burnside, now with Daily Faceoff. Scott, what's going on? How are we doing?
I'm afraid you're only calling me legendary because you haven't called in weeks and weeks. Do you think my feelings might be hurt?
Hey, you're always a legend here on the program. Scott, we love every time you come on.
Anyway, well, I'm thrilled to be aboard, and there is no better time anywhere in sport, in my humble opinion, than the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I was in Raleigh and covered the first two games of the Hurricanes-Bruins series. Oh, my goodness. Very tough, very angry for lots of that. And I think six of the eight series are tied 1-1. Of course, the Preds and the Hurricanes series, well, Boston would be on the 0-2 end of things, as are the Preds against Colorado. But lots of drama through the first 4 or 5 days of the first round of the playoffs, no doubt about that.
Yep, no question about that. So, Scott, we'll just start on the Preds part of this. Obviously, there's no UC Saros in this series. They are overwhelmingly the underdogs coming in. Connor Ingram plays great last night and plays really out of this world, and yet they lose in overtime to Cale Makar. What are your thoughts on the Avalanche? Obviously, they've been building to this point for a while, and it seems like this could be the year that they're prepared to make a deep run. What are your thoughts on Colorado and their chances to close out this series against the Predators and their chances maybe to make a cup run this year?
Yeah, no, I mean, from the get-go, Colorado has sort of been anointed a team, and they had a little bit of a sideways run down the stretch the last couple of weeks of the regular season, actually allowed Florida to overtake them and win the President's Trophy as the top regular season team, which of course guarantees that Florida cannot win the Stanley Cup because the President's Trophy winners almost never win the Cup. That's just the way it goes. But, Colorado, they have so much going on for them, and it's been an interesting season because, they've had injuries to key personnel off and on pretty much throughout the season, right? Gabriel Landeskog comes back just in time for the playoffs. Nathan MacKinnon has been in and out of the lineup. They've had players who stepped up and really sort of elevated their games. I had, on sort of a shadow Hart Trophy ballot, I had Nazem Kadri for a long time on my shadow Hart Trophy ballot because he had really elevated his game in the absence of some of the key personnel for the Avs, and then he got hurt down the stretch as well. But, they're incredibly deep up front. I think they're a better team on the back end, adding Josh Manson at the trade deadline. Arturi Lehkonen from Montreal, who fit right in. What a good two-way player and really good offensive smarts. Not unlike last year, they look like a team that has all of the parts they'll need. I think, people may have asked questions about Darcy Kuemper in net, but he's been really good all year, and he's been good in the first two games against Nashville, obviously. Here's my question. This is not a slight against Nashville, but last night that was an opportunity for the Preds to get back in this series. And you mentioned Connor Ingram, who was out of his mind, good, and what a wasted performance, frankly. I mean, Preds have really nothing going on offensively, and hate to pile on Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, but zero shots on goal, and there's a game that's there to steal. And they let it get away from them with Cale Makar scoring the OT winner. And it's hard to imagine this series lasting any more than five games. And I wonder where that leaves Colorado, because they haven't really been tested. And if this series continues to go this way, I'm not sure that's a great thing for the Avs not to be pushed, really. And same thing happened last year. They waltzed through St. Louis. Got up 2-0 against Vegas and then lost four straight. So that would be the only thing I would wonder, if you go into a second round series against either St. Louis or Minnesota that will be battle tested and really ready to roll, can the Avs elevate their game? Because right now it doesn't look like Nashville is going to push them to do so.
Scott Burnside is with us from the Daily Faceoff. And Scott, seeing the small sample size of games thus far, but you mentioned you're watching Carolina and Boston. How many teams realistically in your mind have a legitimate shot to win the whole thing at this point in time?
Yeah, I think it's, so let's, again, with all due respect, let's toss Nashville out. I think what we saw from the Edmonton Oilers in game two, again, with all due respect to an LA Kings team that is, I think is ahead of the evolutionary curve. It's hard to imagine they could win that series and move on. Washington coming away with a split, Pittsburgh coming away with a split. in Florida and against the New York Rangers, respectively. It's hard to imagine, especially the Penguins goaltending situation, that either of those teams could move on. So I am going to get to answering your question. I would say there are six or eight teams. Like, to me, it's still wide open. As good as Colorado is, and certainly as good as Florida was during the regular season, I think you can legitimately ask questions about all of those elite teams. Like, there's not one. To me, there's, and you know, Tampa, for instance, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. You know, at some point, they have to lose, right? I mean, you can't win every year, so I don't know when that will be. But they looked a bit fatigued in Game 1 against Toronto and then, of course, roared back with a ton of power play goals in Game 2. But I think there are questions about all of the elite teams, so I do think the field is really wide open. You put Colorado at the top, but there isn't a huge gap, I don't think, when you factor in the six or eight teams that I think have a legitimate chance to run the table.
Scott, you mentioned Carolina. Obviously, Predators fans very familiar with the Hurricanes from last year, played them in the playoffs in the weird COVID year in the divisional setup that was last year. But what do you make of the job that Rod Brind'Amour has been able to do to build this team into a really, really good team with young guys that have been homegrown, and just his ability as a coach to make that transition? What do you make of what Rod Brind'Amour and the Hurricanes have built down there?
Yeah, well, it's a great point. And I think anyone who thinks, does it really matter if you're, you know, do you need a good coach, or do you need to, is there much that goes into it? You know, the defending Jack Adams Trophy winner as coach of the year, I think it, you know, puts that all in perspective, because it all flows from Rod Brind'Amour. You talk to people around the game, I think there is consensus that he is one of the top two or three coaches in the game. He coaches like he played. He is selfless, tireless worker. The preparation is second to none. Has the ear of an entire team, because it's one thing to go through a regular season, you know, teams maybe they got two or three really good lines and you can score a bunch, and you may not play a perfect system, but it maybe doesn't matter over 82 games. In a playoff series against one team night after night, if you don't have a system, and if you don't have a system that your team buys into, then you have no chance. And I think this is why Carolina, again, they don't have the game breaker of a Nathan MacKinnon or an Austin Matthews, but they roll four lines. I think they've got seven or eight different goal scorers through two games, and they play relentless hockey. And I think that just all comes from Rod Brind'Amour. And it's easy to talk about, but it's so hard to put into practice. And I think what has happened in Carolina has been quite remarkable. This is the fourth straight year they've gone to the playoffs under Rod Brind'Amour as head coach. It's never happened in franchise history. Are they good enough to win a cup? I had Carolina and St. Louis in my final bracket, with Carolina, pushing through. I notice, because Wayne Gretzky and I are often mentioned in the same breath, that he has the same final end of his playoff bracket. So, take that for what it's worth.
It's pretty good company.
That's interesting. Scott Burnside is with us. We're seeing the WWE style matchup between Cale Makar and Roman Josi. I don't think they're going to have a wrestling match for the Norris Trophy, and obviously it's a regular season award. But watching those two, how do you think that does shake out? Does Josi ultimately win his second Norris Trophy, or do you think Makar might have it?
It's a really good question. I just think the way that Roman Josi, finished the season and with 96 points, right? I don't have it in front of me,
yep.
But what he did was incredible. And I'm curious to see, I think Roman Josi is going to win the Norris. It may be close, but I think he has an edge over Cale Makar. I'm curious to see where he ends up vis-a-vis the Hart Trophy balloting. And it's really very interesting and quite an open field, I think. Yeah, Connor McDavid can't be ignored, of course, winning the scoring title. Austin Matthews with 60 goals or whatever he finished up with. In Toronto, Johnny Gaudreau, an outstanding season for a really good Calgary team. Roman Josi's in that discussion. Igor Shesterkin will still get some love, I think, for the Hart. I'm interested to see where he ends up. He, to me, he's a, a, he's well, lock is a relative term. I expect he'll be in the top five. Does he get on the final ballot? Maybe that's a little bit harder equation, but he should definitely end up on a lot of voters' ballots, and I'll be shocked if he's not in the top five for Hart Trophy balloting. But I do like him to win the Norris in a photo finish maybe with Cale Makar, but I think he fully he would be full value for a Norris Trophy win.
Well, Scott, as you said, this is the best time of the year. We appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and enjoy the rest of the playoffs. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, guys.
Absolutely. Scott Burnside, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, longtime NHL writer, now with DailyFaceoff.com. We'll take your final thoughts on the Preds, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. There's a new way to hear us on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 1025, The Game. You can check us out on 106.3 from downtown Nashville to Spring Hill on I-65 and to Murfreesboro on I-24. You now have two choices to hear our great sports programming and the Nashville Predators as well. Check out 106.3 now and save it as a preset. I even had 106.3 on yesterday up in Hendersville. It was coming in nicely.
So. Yeah, it's a nice alternative. So 106.3, make sure you check it out. I love it. I listen to it all the time when I'm cruising around town.
Taking your thoughts, your final thoughts on Game 2 between the Predators and the Colorado Avalanche, setting up Game 3 tomorrow at Bridgestone Arena. Obviously, you're down 0-2 in this series, so big one tomorrow at Bridgestone. You're going to need to find a way to win that game. Greg on the text line says, you know, a second line I'm interested to see is Granlund, Tomasino, centered by Cody Glass. I understand the intrigue.
That's interesting.
I don't necessarily hate it.
No.
I don't know. Would you be surprised if they called Cody Glass back up at this point and put him in a playoff game?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if they did that. But Cody Glass, at some point, you know that you are going to have to address that. Like, is he now? He's had a really good year in Milwaukee, and
yep.
I think that. What he didn't get in Vegas is he didn't get development time because Vegas didn't care about developing. They were in win now mode.
Yep.
So I kind of think he had to go backwards and kind of go back and redo some things. Being with Carl Taylor and Scott Ford and that group in Milwaukee, I think has been very beneficial to him. Now, is it going to translate at the NHL level? You know, at some point you can develop a guy all you want and he's just not an NHL player. And I don't know if that's the case here or not, but that's interesting. I don't know if I hate that either. If they were to do that, so then who would you take out? You would.
Well, they're not gonna take Granlund off center. I mean,
no.
Greg's talking about putting Glass as the center between Granlund and Tomasino. Like Granlund is so pivotal what they do. They're not taking him off of center, so I doubt he'd play there. But there are some. I mean, we've had people on the text line today talk about. Put the fourth line back together with Glass, Tomasino, and Tolvanen and just make that your fourth line and roll that way with it. Again, at this point, they're probably not going to do that, but I thought those three, when they were together, they had their moments where they showed some pretty good flashes. Now, they had their moments, too, where it wasn't all that pretty out there, but look, I'm not saying it's a bad idea. It's certainly worth considering. Everything should be on the table when you're down 0-2. Heading back home for Game 3 in a game that you got to have. So we'll see what John Hines does on that front. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in William from Nashville. William, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, you're welcome. Hey, I just got in. I don't know if this has been talked about, but a little part of the storyline was the coverage last night kept on showing Connor Ingram's dad. That guy looked so intense, he could probably chew pencils. I thought that was pretty interesting.
His mom, too.
Oh, yeah. They were locked in.
Yeah. That was awesome. That was cool that they did that.
And Granlund, he's the best forward checker. He reminds me of a quarter horse, the way he can stop, skate, change direction. But this whole year, what I have noticed, we spend so little time threatening in the other team's offensive zone. It's been so much – seems like so much time in our end defending. It's been bad against every other NHL team, but really, it was really just it's really been on point. That's been a main point I noticed in this game. They just really have possession. The whole game they had possession of it. And but I like to give a shout out, you know, give respect to Connor Ingham. That was a hell of a game. And be a story. Former Tampa Bay high prospect.
Yeah, thanks for the call, William. We appreciate it. I mean, it's certainly a big game last night from Connor Ingram. To his point about, you know, hanging around in the defensive zone, to me, that's been way more of a problem for them lately than it has been at any other point. And the schedule has gotten harder coming down the stretch. They played a lot of really good teams, some elite teams, in the final part of the regular season there. But, you know, you think back to January, February, it wasn't – I mean, the Predators weren't just getting hemmed in all the time in their zone. They had some sustained zone time. I mean, obviously, Forsberg and Duchesne in the years offensively that they had basically the whole way through, not all that's sustained zone time. Some of that's power play. Some of that's, you know, on the rush. But the Predators were able to generate some offense. Really, the last month, they just keep getting hemmed in, and defensively it's just not been very good. Like, even last night, you only gave up two goals. You played better defensively, for sure, than you did in game one. I still didn't think it was that great defensively, and Connor Ingram had to be awesome, and he was. But that, to me, as to William's point, that's a big concern as to what's going on defensively and how can you go about fixing that in the middle of a playoff series.
I don't know if you can. That's the – I mean, I kind of think you get to this point in the year and you got what you got, and that's pretty much what we have seen to this point. Now, you know, can you make some tweaks here and there to the lineup and change some personnel? I mean, could you call up somebody from Milwaukee? Sure, but you know, they got their own playoff stuff that's going on. So, you know, you don't want to completely rob them of their talent, but whatever you got to do to help your club, then you do it. But I just don't know if there's any magic fix at this point for the defensive woes.
So, Chase, quickly, as we look ahead now to game three, the two games in Colorado are done. You know what the deficit is now as you're heading into game three. It's one you got to have tomorrow if there's any prayer that you're going to hang around in this series if you're the Predators. What's the number one thing that you're looking to see tomorrow at Bridgestone from the Predators that leads you to believe they could win tomorrow's game?
I just think feeding off this home crowd. I mean, they've done it before. This atmosphere, you know, I think sometimes gets overlooked of how important home ice can be and everything with that. You know, I think Crispy's answer and your answer on the last change, those were good ones of it's not the be-all, end-all. I mean, it's a good thing to have, but, you know, the good coaches know how to combat that anyway, and Jared Bednar is a good coach, so I think that's certainly going to come in play, but you just got to go out there and take advantage of every opportunity that you get because you're not going to get a ton of them and capitalize on those. It's as simple as that.
Chaser, it's been fun having you in here the last couple of days. Absolutely. Lots of fun the last couple of days. Joe will be back coming up on Monday. We'll react to game three of the Predators and the Avalanche coming up tomorrow. Look ahead to game four coming up on Monday night at Bridgestone Arena. Darren Donica Chase is coming up next. They're going to have Hugh Freeze dropping by at 10:15. His coach, obviously the coach of the quarterback the Titans just selected in the draft, Malik Willis. Looking forward to that conversation with Hugh Freeze at 10:15. Titans running back Hassan Haskins coming up at 11 o'clock as well. So you're going to want to make sure that you stay tuned for that. Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll be back on Monday here on Robbie and Rex Road. Good way to end the week there. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Sorry, Joe.